Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. It is opening day at Pete Taylor Park. This is the show we look the most forward to every year. 2-hour edition of the Eagle Hour live from here at the Pete. Special coverage sponsored by Covington County Hospital, Johnny Wright Auctions, Heritage Firearms, South Mississippi Office Furniture, SoPro Brewing, and Warren Asphalt, as well as our normal, everyday, wonderful Eagle Hour sponsors. We're very, very glad to be here, and we thank them for all making that possible. And what a show today. We've got Brian Dozier, Scott Berry, Slade Wilkes, Glenn Dyer. It continues, and we started out with our annual co-host, the one and only Hill Denson. And, Coach, it's always so wonderful to see you, and thank you for giving us 2 hours of your time again today.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
We're always glad to have you. Andrew Abbey joining us as well on the set right outside the baseball office. Coach, tell me something. Why is, and I think this is so unique to baseball, you can have football, basketball, it doesn't matter, but there's something a little different in the air when it's opening day of baseball season. Do you still feel that, Coach?
Yeah, I do. I always have every year, and that's been a bunch of years. But it's always been a great day, wherever and whenever I was coaching. It didn't, you know, didn't matter if it's college ball, high school, or wherever.
What is it that's special?
I don't know. I never have figured that out. It's just the excitement of it and getting started, and then once it starts, it just clicks off. You know, goes through the season. Next thing you know, it's over.
Yeah,
that's the way it works. Of course, we play so many games, I think, you know, you get into a groove and just feel that all the way through. It just one, you know, it's just an automatic thing. You're going into the ballpark, you play and get dressed, come back tomorrow and play, and so forth.
Andrew Abbey's on the set with us. Of course, Andrew, before we get on to baseball, I think we should mention big win last night that you covered for the Lady Eagles softball team.
Yeah, it was cold last night, too, on top of everything else. But, yeah, really big win for them. They walk off Ole Miss in extra innings. And then to make it even more dramatic, they were down to their last out in the bottom of the seventh. Michaela Fox ties it up. And then a true freshman, Kayla Gardenia, I think I'm saying her last name correctly, freshman pitcher for USM, stranded 6 of Ole Miss's 9 runners left on base. Most of that came in extra innings. She was really, really, really impressive. You'd like to think that's a win that carries the momentum. Of course, Natalie Taylor hits the game winner, but Ole Miss's pitcher had 19 strikeouts, set the program record, and Southern Miss found a way to hold them off.
How big a win is that for them, you think?
It's a big resume win, that's for sure. Ole Miss was 4-1. Now they're 4-2, of course. They had a top 25 win over the weekend. They beat some really good mid-major programs in their opening tournament. They're actually going to go down and play at the UL tournament this weekend. Southern Miss will be playing Arkansas and Louisiana Tech this weekend. So they really need that momentum because those are two really good teams.
All right, Coach, let's talk baseball. Kind of give us your overview of this 2025 edition of the Eagles and what do you think we can expect?
Well, I had a little different perspective this year in the fact that I was living down here and I was able to go out there in the fall and enjoy that. And it took a long time for me to kind of tell who was who. I never could get Oz to put the numbers on them so I could tell who was who. But You know, I really think we're going to be a good ball. I think it's going to be just like the last two or three years. You know, we'll struggle a little here and there trying to get the lineups right and people getting used to playing and the speed of the game, especially the youngest guys. And it really doesn't matter if a guy comes from junior college or from high school, really. I've never found that it made much difference in the time it takes to adjust with a junior college guy and a high school guy. And I can't say why, because obviously the competition is tougher in junior college, but it's still a level that you got to get used to.
Coach, it's a pretty even division of returning players and new players.
Right.
Is that ideal for a coach?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, of course, it would be better if they were all returning but and would stay here forever, you know. But it is a little unusual, but it's good. It's a good mix, I think. But we really had signed some good arms in the summer and brought in guys in the fall this year that I was really impressed with. I was able to see a lot of bullpens and all, which I hadn't done in 25 years down here because I've been off up there coaching in Jackson, you know. And so, you know, it was great to be around and be around the club, and it kind of scratched an itch of mine to be around a little bit.
You still miss it?
Yeah, I miss being around the kids, and that was what was good about that. And, I don't miss all of it, but I miss that part of it.
Having said all of that, of you getting actually able to really see this team, who are you most excited to see this upcoming year? I mean, there's a lot of names that are kind of due for breakout seasons this year.
Well, JB starting tonight. I'm anxious to see if he's that little switch is switched on for him to stay consistent out there. And, you know, that would be a big thing that I'm looking to see early on. And, you know, we just had several guys. This Dre Beck here going to start, I believe, at third tonight. He's really going to be a super player for us, thanks down the line. And, you know, he's a big one.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Good one.
6'3", 215, I believe, is what his figures are.
Yep.
He doesn't swing it like a freshman either.
No. No, he's looks like a real hitter to me. So we'll see. You never can tell. And one of the things that always kind of bugged me was when we start the season in the spring, the fall doesn't really give you all the accuracies that you'd like to have. You feel like a lot of times a guy will have a great fall and won't have a good spring, you know. And I always worry about sophomore jinx. sophomore jinx seem to get people, you know. And I would say that was kind of that way with Monastir last year. You know, he had a great year, freshman year, and then and was good last year. He's still a great player, but he didn't have the kind of year we thought he'd have, but he was sophomore, and yeah. I've learned to just accept that it kind of happens a lot.
Yeah. Andrew, tell our listeners about this kid starting at third base. What can you share with us about him?
Yeah, Dre Barrett, he's a true freshman out of Alabama, was in the battle with Seth Smith, who's a very good player. I mean, it's not a knock to Seth Smith because
he'll be playing a lot. Seth will play a lot too.
Yes, you know, he has so much maturity at the plate. For starters, he has a lot of power, especially for a true freshman. Again, that helps with being built at 6'3", 215. But he's just not making freshman mistakes inside the batter's box. From what I saw in the spring, he was sitting back on the right pitches and really driving it. And then, you know, you look at his glove. It's mature. You know, it's right there with Seth Smith, and it can be argued Seth Smith's got one of the best gloves on the team. So, I mean, for a true freshman to be doing a lot of things right early on in the preseason, beat out a veteran, that has to say a lot.
How unusual is that on a team with the talent level this team has for a freshman to break the lineup?
Well, I don't know that it's that unusual. You know, once they get here, you know, these guys have been here since really back in the summer. Those guys came in. They were able to come in the summer and work with kids and camps and stuff like that and be around. So, you know, they get involved in the culture and all that. It doesn't take them long to grow up there. And it's just now seeing the real action this picture to happen from a team other than ourselves and looking at our own pitching. But one of the good things about our hitters is that they have to face good pitching here in the off season. So, you know, a lot of the teams we had back in my days, I couldn't tell if we had good hitters or sorry pitchers. Or, you know, couldn't tell.
You know, but, I'd like to add that, you know, this program, and I've been covering this team since 17, they always have at least one true freshman that breaks into the lineup and ends up being a 3 or 4 year starter. Nick Monastir was that guy a couple years ago. Dustin Dickerson, Danny Lynch, Matt. I mean, the list goes on. Oh, I mean, yeah. It's just something they do here.
Yeah, I don't think that's unusual at all. And to say something about Seth Smith, too, he's going to play. The good thing about him compared to the two, I think, is the fact that Seth can play several positions and be able to fill here and there, give a guy a day off, this, that, and the other, and probably play about as much as a starter most of the time, yeah. You know, and get used a lot.
Should we take anything from this, Coach Denson, Colby Allen, named All-America? That's right.
Yeah, preseason All-American as a starting pitcher.
But not starting this weekend.
I think it's I like it, to tell you the truth. I like the fact that we know what he can do at the end of a ball game, and I like having the guy at the end of the game all week long, every day, have a guy that can sit in there and stop the ball, stop the game, stop the other team from whipping your tail at the end of the game, you know. So I like that. Yeah. And I haven't talked to Oz about it. I don't know what exactly he's thinking, but I heard y'all on yesterday's show.
All right, hang on, Coach. We're going to be right back. Continue that thought. We're at Pete Taylor Park. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour from Pete Taylor Park, opening day, of course. Special coverage sponsored by Covington County Hospital, Johnny Wright Auctions, Heritage Firearms, South Mississippi Office Furniture, SoPro Brewing, Warren & Warren Asphalt. I'm here with our co-host, Andrew Abity, and also the great coach and one of our dear friends, Hill Denson. All right, earlier today, talked to another Southern Miss great, former Major Leaguer All-Star Brian Dozier. Want to hear that conversation, then we'll get Coach's thoughts about the great Brian Dozier. Here he is, Brian Dozier.
Brian Dozier on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And, Brian, this has become kind of a tradition. This is the third year you've helped us kick off the Southern Miss baseball season on our program, you and Hill Denson. Hill Denson, that's quite a guy to wrap you up with, Brian.
Don't be putting me in the same sentence. He's the legend around here. I talked to him the other day. He's doing well. So, but I appreciate you having me on every year.
Oh man, we
it's
love
a joy to be with y'all.
Well, we feel the same. We love having you, Brian. We talk about. I'm gonna ask you the same question I asked Hill just a couple minutes ago. You can look around at every sport in the world, and there's just nothing quite like opening day in baseball. Why do you think that is, Brian?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question. It's kind of a lot of different things. I know for me, even at the college level, pro level, whatever it may be, there's so much work. You know, people think, yeah, just MLB season is, you know, you go to opening day, that's it, you play 6 months, whatever. But it's really year-round. There's so much time and effort spent from right after the World Series till the end of spring training. That is just really like mentally a grind. It's a lot of the boring stuff because you're not really on a field. You can take ground balls and you can do this, but you got to work out. You got to run your sprints. You got to hit in the cage. You got to do all this stuff leading up. And then all of a sudden, just for to be able to play a game of baseball. So that opening day, that feeling of everything, it's like, okay, I put in the time, the work, and everything. And now let's put that aside, and let's just play ball like we're little kids again.
I'm going to assume that would be the same in college and in the major leagues, right? That feeling in its general is kind of the same.
Yeah, for sure. And you can have all the scrimmages and inter-squads and everything that you want to have, and you have some fans in the stands, not many, all this kind of stuff. But there's nothing like, I'm going to tell you this, and as the season goes on, it gets kind of different, but there's nothing like that opening day where you get to the park and all of a sudden you see grills going. You get smoke in the air. Somebody's cooking hamburgers for everybody. You got people with coolers running out to the roost or, you know, whatever it is. It's just a different feeling, and they're all doing this because they want to come watch you play. So that's kind of like a giddy feeling, so to speak.
Right. All right, Brian, there's so much hope here that the Golden Eagles are going to get back to the World Series, and they've come so close two of the last 3 years. You were on the team that made it all the way to Omaha. You were also on a major league team that made it all the way and won the World Series of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of talented teams every year, Brian, that don't get there. What all goes into making it, quote unquote, to the championship?
Yeah, so, you know, talent only gets you so far. You need it. We have it at Southern Miss. When playoffs hit, at whatever level it may be, when that hits, your mind changes just a little bit. It's kind of always cliche saying, oh, it's just the same game, all this kind of stuff. It is, but it's not. Because I've seen it happen with so many people. Even in the playoffs, my very first playoffs in the big leagues against the Yankees, Yankee Stadium, and you could just tell that some people had it and some people didn't, because everything is so, it gets so small and minuscule and everything that you literally have to do pretty much everything right. In order to combat that, you have to be able to love pressure. Pressure's good, nervousness is good or whatever, but you got to be able to, it's kind of like that old movie, with clear the mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to take yourself in a different state of mind when the regional hits, when the super regional, when everything is so that you got to be pretty much perfect. And it's so easy to say it's the same game, play like it, but it's not. And I've seen it. So as far as talent, talent gets you to a good spot and stuff, but in order to I guess make that extra step, you got to have the guys that are willing to, you know, take a step back and be able to combat that pressure or whatever and play.
And along the way, does it maybe take a little luck too?
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer though that you create your own luck. I think a lot of people say that when it comes to a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, you look at anybody that's ever kind of made it or won a World Series at whatever level, whatever, it's because talent mixed with what I just said about being able to combat nervousness and everything and being able to perform under pressure. All those things are, in my opinion, not luck. So once you pull all that stuff together, like I said, I think that's what makes a really good ball club.
Hey, a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you a couple of personal things, if you don't mind. When you finished your great Major League Baseball career, truth is, Brian, you and your wife could have gone and lived anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world you wanted to live. You came back to Hattiesburg, and that's where you live now. Why, Brian? What is it about Hattiesburg that's so dear to you?
Yeah, you know what? When I came here, obviously fall in love with the city, Coach Palmer, Coach Barry, and I remember my mom telling all her friends when I came home for Christmas, and she saw the giddy in my eyes lit up, how much I loved it down there. And she told all her friends, she's like, I'll never have my baby back to Fulton. He's obsessed with Hattiesburg. And sure enough, I've even though I always call Fulton my number one home, but this is home now, and it has been ever since I came down here for college. And all my best friends still live here, the Kirtlands and the Cuevases and Bailey Artell and Sam Thomas, just everybody, guys I played with and roomed with, and their wives are my wife's best friends. And it just kind of all made sense. My kids love it now. We built a house out of canebrake, and like I said, this is home.
My wife and I share that same story with you, Brian. We came to college down here, and we moved back. Jobs took us elsewhere, and we strove and strove and strove to get back to Hattiesburg. And when we were finally able to move back, it kind of felt like we had come full circle. Did you have that sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything. The thing is, we tried a little bit to live in Mandeville, right outside Mandeville, just for a little bit, my first off season. It didn't feel like home. And, you know, the crazy thing is now I got a 5'4" and a 2-year-old. You always want some grandparents just to dump them off to every now and then, right? So right, that's exactly. Been the biggest struggle, because her parents live in Mandeville. Mine live up around Tupelo. So we always got to have about 3 or 4 babysitters on standby.
I can understand that. Hey, final question, Brian. What's your message to the Golden Eagle kids today as they get ready to start this season?
Yeah, one of the biggest things, you know, you put in all the work. It's time to play baseball. But at the same thing, I'm going to tell you, everyone gets caught up in, you know, the big things and the wins and losses and all this kind of stuff. And I tell people all the time that the little things add up to big things. And the better the guys can be at, you know, throwing strikes, hitting cutoff men, keeping double plays in order, those kind of things. They really don't show up in any box score, but that's what kind of wins you the game. Everybody loves the 3-run pump, and homer, doubles off the wall, and all that kind of stuff. But the little things, especially early on, get some of these teams that to get that confidence rolling. That's the biggest thing.
Hey, Brian, you're the best, man, and we're grateful to you. Every time we invite you on the Eagle Hour, you come, and we want to keep this tradition going. You and Hill, is that good?
That's all good with me. I appreciate you having me, Bob.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian. Brian Dozier, everybody, the great Brian Dozier on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
All right, Coach Henson, what made Brian Dozier such a special baseball player?
He's a little pack of dynamite. You know, he was just a heck of a ball player that did all the things he was just talking about, I think. You know, he's just a... and a great guy, too. So
he's a wonderful human being. He's no doubt about that.
You know, that's bottom line. He's just a great baseball player, good athletic ability, and all the things it takes to do it.
Andrew Abbedy, Brian Dozier, arguably the greatest player that came through here, but certainly had the best professional career of anybody that's come through here.
Yeah, I think you'd have to put him on the Rushmore for sure. I think you could argue some there's, because there's been a lot of really good ones, especially in the last 6-7 years, to that found their way up on that Rushmore. But I think you got to put him up there for sure.
He's up there, right, Coach?
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah. Fred Cooley on that Mount Rushmore.
Oh yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Still the longest home run you ever saw, Fred Cooley.
Yeah, it was 3 blocks.
And I think the best thing about Brian Dozier is what a humble, kind person he is to have had such a great career, no question about that. Special edition, 2 hours of the Super Talk Eagle Hour from Pete Taylor Park, our favorite day of the year. Opening day, we'll be right back. Andrew, Coach, and I, stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back to the Pete opening day. We're so happy to be here. We've got our good buddy Hill Denson, who co-hosts this with us every year. It's become a tradition, Coach. We really appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy it.
What are you doing with all the money you make from doing this?
I just try to hoard it.
Try to hoard it away?
Yeah, put it away.
Speaking of that, walking up to the set.
Here comes the money. You can't hide money.
You can't hide money. Is our great friend Scott Berry. It's so good to see him. Coach, grab that headset. Coach, I'm not going to lie to you. I was telling my wife coming up here today, I still miss Coach. Man, we could go to his office. He'd let us hang around, eat his M&Ms, all that kind of stuff. We miss you, Coach.
Well, the year has gone by, and here we go again.
Am I on the air?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
There we go. I said the year quickly went by from last year, and here we start a new one. So excited about today.
Do you miss it, Coach?
You know, I think obviously there's parts of it that if you do it for 39 years, you're going to miss, you know, some of it, particularly the relationships and, you know, with camaraderie with the players and the coaching staff. You know, we had something really special here and still do. And, you know, those times obviously you miss, and I know Hill can echo that as well in his time. But, you know, there's other parts of the game, obviously, that have entered into the to this profession that, you know, I don't miss.
You didn't like, did you, Coach?
Well, you know, I was fortunate at the time to where I could make a decision to move in a different direction, and that's what I decided to do.
Do you miss this guy?
I do miss that old boy. He's he's always been good. We go way back, and he's always fun to be around, and you know, so. Hill's brought a lot to this program and to this university, and we're grateful for it.
Throughout your career here, you can say that, did he ever pay for a lunch?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Either.
Don't think so.
He's gone the line now.
I have a pesky media question for you, Scott.
Okay.
I know you missed that part of the job for sure. I noticed there is a doubleheader this weekend. And yes. So my question to you, are double headers hard?
They should not be hard. They shouldn't be hard. And as a matter of fact, Jack and I, Jack dissected the tenure that I had as a head coach here the other day and called me about that because he wanted to know if this was the first time that we've ever scheduled a doubleheader non-conference that wasn't influenced by weather or anything else. And I said, well, I can't remember one, but there actually was one. I think it was in the McNeese tournament one year that we had to play, and Missouri was one of the opponents, and maybe, no, I think it was Valparaiso and McNeese State. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did throw out an interesting stat the other day that there were 17 doubleheaders that we swept. There were 3 doubleheaders that we got swept, and then there were 18 doubleheaders that we split in it. So, you know, I think I told him, I said, I don't know if that's any good or not, to be honest with you. And he said, I think that's pretty good. So, you know, doubleheaders obviously are not what you want. You know, we practice to play one, but when you have to play them, you know, you just got to take them one game at a time.
Why are they hard, Coach?
Well, I just think that, especially if you win on the front end, you get a little lax. You have a tendency to get a little complacent, and you're satisfied with the one win. And, you know, if your team is any team at all and you get beaten that first one, then certainly you want them to have that feel of a sense of urgency to come back and win one because you just lost one. So and it's quick to turn around. So, but I think if you just keep it in perspective and you just play one game at a time, and when that one's over and you focus on the next one, then there's really no reason why you can't win both of them.
One of the things I learned about you in the years that I had the good fortune of covering your program is that your guys would come out, you play really well, you dominate a team on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday you don't play quite. So I always observed that was one of your really irritations.
Well, it was, because you know, I'll tell you what, when you work hard and you win that Friday game and that Saturday game and you got a chance to do something really special and that sweep a team, then you don't want to miss on that opportunity, the opportunity that you have certainly worked for and earned the right to try to do. But on the other hand, there's going to be times where you're going to be in that situation where you're down 2 games and the best you can do is salvage one, and you've got to find a way to win. You can't get swept. So you know in that situation when you're up two games that the other team certainly got that sense of urgency that they can't get swept, so they're coming after you. So, you know, that's what's neat about sports. You know, it's about competing. It's about the opportunity, whatever it is, that brings out the best in everybody. So, you know, you hope that you can go ahead and complete that sweep when you have that opportunity to do it.
I want to ask you about this schedule. I mean, I know you used to try and always have some tough opponents on the front end and kind of balance it out, but, man, Oz has really loaded this year's schedule up, particularly this first month is rough. I mean, do you recall anything similar to when you were around?
Well, no. I mean, I don't really remember. I know we schedule tough. I mean, that was a model that we discovered a few years ago that if you're going to have any chance at postseason outside of a conference tournament championship that gives you the automatic berth, you better have a reason for that committee to put you in one of those 64 or one of the 33 at large bids, and the only way you can do that is by scheduling tough. So, you know, the TCU game, that was one that we had scheduled back when I was coaching, but they were supposed to be coming back to us, and for whatever reason that didn't happen. They couldn't come back, I guess. Last year they informed Oz that, you know, only if we came to them, and certainly I told him that's a great series on the road that you need to keep, you know, because that's going to build that RPI. So, but he does have he's got a very challenging one, obviously, with you know, with this weekend. If you look at the teams and last year, this will be the only easy weekend,
right? And it's a four-game series,
but
too.
It's a four-game series, and you never know. You know, that team last year, whatever record it was, is not the same team that they are this year. So, like anybody, you've got to come out and compete. You know, anybody can beat anybody. It's like he and I were talking yesterday. I said, yeah, you know, everybody's teams work hard. They all practice. They all have good coaches, and they all have scholarships. So those guys that you're facing, you know, they're good players too. So you've got to come with your A game every day now.
Coach, I don't put you on the spot, but this man here laid the groundwork for you and Coach Palmer. What's this gentleman mean to you?
Oh, he means everything. You know, I feel the vision that he had several years ago and what he aspired that Southern Miss baseball was going to be. And, I mean, he was the guy that laid the foundation with it. You know, obviously Pete Taylor was there before him, but when we moved over, you know, Pete has great legacy here and what he was able to accomplish. But he'll took it to another level. I mean, he had the vision of what we see today, this stadium. I can remember in 1990 when I was coaching at Southwest Missouri State, we made a road trip down here to play Coach Denson and the Golden Eagles, and they were building the stadium. I mean, there wasn't any seats up there. They were just I-beams, and the only seating were the two little bleacher seats behind each dugout. But you could see something really, really special that was in the making, something that was ahead of a lot of other people around the country for the program that Southern Miss was. I mean, and that's, you know, it's the greatest baseball state in our country, Mississippi. It is the best baseball state in the country, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be a part of that, and I know Hill is too. And, you know, I wasn't born in Mississippi, but I've been here now longer than I was in Missouri. And
you are a Mississippian.
So I claim myself as a Mississippian now, but I am proud of all the baseball that's played at all levels.
Do you hear those compliments?
Yeah, I'm late for it. Keep talking.
You can't keep blowing that smoke, Scott.
No, it's the truth. I mean that. I really do. So, you know, people need to understand that. I think with time, a lot of people forget. You know, I mean, they live in the present, and they forget the past. And, you know, that the past is what is the present.
This wouldn't be what it is today without this.
Absolutely not. There's no way. No way.
Yeah. You must be proud when you look at this program, Coach. Your thoughts about Oz's first year and how he handled everything?
Well, you know, I know it wasn't easy. And, you know, I mean, to keep up what we had been doing and to continue that streak of 40-plus wins a year, you know, the only program in the country that has 40-plus for the 8 consecutive years. Going into his first year, we had 7 consecutive. You know, a regional streak of, I don't know how many.
I think it's the same amount.
Yeah, I think we were 7 straight regionals now, you know. It wasn't easy when I followed Coach Palmer either. You know, we just came off the only appearance that we've been in Omaha. So the precedent was set as high as you can set it without winning a national championship. But, you know, what you do is you believe in what you're capable of doing. You trust to what the groundwork that has been laid here in the foundation. And certainly with the culture that we have, you keep the culture going and you get the right people in here and let them work.
Are you leaving or are you going to be around for a little bit?
Well, I'm going to go back for dessert after a little bit. No, I'll be here.
Okay, if you're here after two and can come back out, we'd love to have you some more.
That's the third dessert. That's
perfect. He's already but at least he's paying for it, Coach. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Somebody's paying for it. I guarantee you he did.
We're going to continue from Pete Taylor Park, Super Talk Eagle Hour, right after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Pete Taylor Park opening day. We've got baseball coach Scott Berry and Hill Denson here with us. They're going to rejoin us on the other side of the hour. Really appreciate that. Still to come, Slade Wilks. That'll be great to have Slade on the set with Coach. And we're going to continue our coverage of baseball on the other side of the break. Right now, we've got one of our fine sponsors, Davis Culpepper, who's the CEO at Covington County Hospital. And first of all, thank you, sir, for supporting the show and supporting Southern Miss Baseball. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Let me make one small correction. I am not the CEO.
Okay. All right.
Director
My
of marketing.
Apologies.
Yeah, no, I'm Director of Marketing Communication. No, that's all.
Well, that's almost like sure that. That's almost like being the CEO, Mr. Culpepper.
Make sure everybody understands that.
No, I understand, and that's completely on me, and I do apologize for that. Covington County Hospital, I know that y'all also have opened a new facility at the Smith County Hospital or Smith County. Explain just how crucially important the rural health care is across the state.
Oh, wow. It's vital. Smith County had been without emergency services probably close to 25 years. And we've just opened it up. We started the project probably 7-8 months ago. And we just did a dedication and ribbon cutting ceremony on the 31st. And I think on like the second or third, we started seeing patients on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. So, and we've had really good response. Having those emergency services there means they don't have to take a minimum 35-minute drive either direction to get to emergency services, whether it's going to South Central in Laurel or Collins to Covington County Hospital, or if they're going to McGee General there in McGee. They can get those services taken care of right there. And, time is of essence, especially, if you've got a cardiac event going on, or maybe if you've got a limb that's been severed, or if you've got something that's, could be potentially dangerous, they're able to get you stabilized there and get you transported to where you need to go to be taken care of.
And what are some of the services that the hospitals you're involved with from a rural standpoint are now providing that maybe weren't there before?
Well, with the opening of Smith County Emergency Hospital, you get emergency services, you got the full-on suite of imaging and diagnostic tests that can be done there. You can also have all the lab work drawn there and have the tests done there on site, so you don't have to travel out to have that done. Here at Collins, Covington County Hospital, we've got the same thing, but we've got the emergency room, we've got inpatient stay, and we have swing bed unit, and is for those individuals who may need a little extra time recovering from a procedure or surgery to get them stronger. We also have senior care unit, which is Jerry Site, for those that are 55 and up, whether they need medication regulated or if they just need to be put on medication to regulate moods and behaviors and things like that. We have the on-site psychiatrist that takes care of those patients, and he and his staff do a really good job back there.
So important. And am I correct that William Carey University, since they've opened their medical school, they're providing a lot of physicians in rural settings around the state. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, they are. They're filling some vital roles, and also with our CEO, Greg Gibbs, is also the CEO at South Central, and they just signed a deal with them to do the residency program there at South Central for some of those DO guys that are coming through the program at Carey. So that's going to be very beneficial because they'll get to practice in small town America, small town Mississippi, which will allow them to experience that. And, you know, I'm probably now about 15, 16 years into healthcare on the marketing side, and recruitment of physicians to small town Mississippi it can be a challenge. But if you can ever get the guys here and show them the quality of life and the effect that they have on the community, it's really an easy sell. It's just getting to the community and getting them to take a good look at it.
Right, and I know that the hospitals you're involved with do a lot of things like what you're doing right now. You support the local communities. You're a supporter of Southern Miss. That's important to communities, and I thank you, sir, for what role your hospitals play in supporting all of our local communities.
Oh, absolutely, and Southern Miss is a huge part of the Pine Belt and the workforce that's there. You know, if they have it. I gone to school there. They've been affiliated with it some way or another. So it plays a huge part, and we're very appreciative of the opportunity to do it.
Well, we really appreciate all you do with Super Talk, and we really appreciate you making it possible for us to be out here and celebrate this glorious day, which is the opening of this beloved Southern Miss baseball program here in Hattiesburg, sir.
Thank you. Go Eagles.
There we go. Davis Culpepper with Covington County Hospital, also Smith County Hospital. Michael, it's heating up out here. We've got the great Slade Wilkes here with us. Scott Berry's hanging around. Sometimes I have trouble believing I get paid to do things like this.
I do, too. I question that every week.
All right, my man. We'll be right back. Slade Wilkes, Scott Berry. It's just getting better. Come back. We're going to continue for another hour. Pete Taylor Park.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the Eagle Hour here at Pete Taylor Park. Opening day, Southern Miss baseball, best day of the year. Special coverage sponsored by Warren & Warren Asphalt, SoPro Brewing, South Mississippi Office Furniture, Heritage Firearms, Johnny McWright Auctions, and Covington County Hospital. All right, going to continue our coverage. Opening day, Andrew joins me here on the set. It doesn't get much better than this. Scott Berry, we asked Coach to stick around a little while longer, and then we have the great Slade Wilkes, who has joined us on the set. Slade, always a pleasure to see you.
Yes, sir. Glad to be back. Thank you all for having me.
Coach Berry, put into perspective what this young man meant to Southern Miss baseball.
Oh, he was one of the good ones, man. I could see his development from his freshman year till last year, and you know, what a great year last year that he had, and leading Golden Eagles back to a regional there, Tennessee, and back-to-back conference Sun Belt championships. But, you know, what a better person than probably a player. And that's saying something, because he was a heck of a player. But, yeah. You know, we all aspire them to be good people, and certainly he was that before he got to our program, and certainly carries it as he moves out into the working world now.
Andrew?
I did the story, I guess, last year. I interviewed Slade about when how you got about recruiting him, and the story was there was a 7th or 8th grader hitting home runs out of P. Taylor Park into the trees over right field. I was wondering if you could kind of retell that story.
Oh, and it's true. I think you were in eighth grade when you came out here.
Hitting
under the lights on a Monday night camp, and he was literally, as an eighth grader, and I'm not over-exaggerating this, he was hitting them in the top of those trees in right field as an eighth grader. I have never seen so much power out of that young of a player as I saw out of Slade that evening. And it was a no-brainer then. Big, strong, physical, good arm. I mean, he had everything that you were looking for to come into your program. And once again, he checked the character box of a great person that you wanted to be a part.
All right, Slade Wilks, this is the first opening day in quite some time that you're not going in that building and putting on that suit, that uniform. What's it like right now?
It's a different feeling for sure. But, I stay in touch with a lot of the guys. And really right now I'm just excited to watch baseball. I'm happy baseball season's back around, I'm excited to see what it looks like from the other side, different parts of the park and things like that. I'm not real sure where if I'm a bleacher guy, a roost guy, maybe even the lounge. We'll see. So I'm just excited to see all the different aspects.
Has the adjustment been tough, knowing that your baseball career has ended?
No, sir, not really. I mean, I obviously miss it, no doubt. I mean, I love it. Play it for, I guess 20 years. A part of you's gone a little bit. But, I've got married now and, enjoy living with my wife. And, just excited right now.
All right, I'm going to do the reverse question. I asked Coach what you meant to the program. What did the man sitting to your right mean to you?
Oh, it's hard to put in words because Coach Barry, I think you ask every player who's ever played here, Coach Barry makes you a better man. And, he develops you not on the field, but, he wants you to be leaders of households and good men and leader of families after life, and that's exactly what he does.
Coach, you told me many times when you and I have conversations that developing – young man like Slade Wilks into men that could go on and be successful the rest of their life, you always felt like was the most important thing you did.
I think that's an opportunity that coaches have, and hopefully they don't miss on it. I think we can be great influences to these guys, and obviously as they go out and start their families and get in their communities, they can be great influences on other people. So it's kind of a domino theory, and we adopted a motto several years ago called Everything Matters, and I think these guys truly understand it, and it's a part of our culture and why that we do so well and why we're successful at Southern Miss with baseball.
I've had several players tell me that the reason they believe we've not really lost any players in this crazy new world, with maybe one exception, is because of the cultures. Slade, the culture means a lot to you guys here, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, absolutely. The culture here, it's everything. I believe this is what, this program is built on, is culture. It's hard-nosed kids that, love the game, and this is, where they want to play and, don't think about moving.
Slade, I want to ask you, you're familiar with most of these guys on this team. There are a lot of freshmen, but I wonder, who are you most excited to see and watch this year? Who do you think's kind of due for the big breakout season?
I'll start on, newcomers, that is. I've heard, talked to Pato a bunch because, me and Pato are real close friends, and, he's told me a lot about the freshman lefty, Harris, and so, excited to see him throw, obviously. Said he's got some electric stuff there, and, also excited to see the Higdon. I heard he can really, really swing it, and, I think I'm really excited for Matt Adams. I'm excited to see Matt come back. Matt was always one of the best teammates we had, and I think Matt's going to have a really good year.
There you go.
Okay. There you go.
All right, second question, though. What do you think of this schedule? It's not – you've played some tough games, some tough series through your years, but that first month's rough, man. I mean, what's kind of your take when you first saw it?
Oh, I love it. I think our biggest non-conference series when I was here was probably away non-conference series, probably Dallas Baptist or, Lafayette maybe in there. But going to TCU, that's really exciting. I wish I was 1 year back so I could go for that. And, I'm excited. We got a bunch of good midweeks in there. It's tough, but it'll make them ready for it. They're ready.
I know you can't pick one time probably, but some of the now that you had a chance to look back, some of the highlight moments of your career that you think you'll always remember the most?
The one that sticks out in my mind will forever be we beat LSU here in the regional. I can remember every second of it, and it was just really special, you know, that feeling, be able to soak it all in.
I think I told you last year after the game, but for me, one of the sweetest things I've ever seen is when you hit that ball against the wall against Coastal in that tournament last year. Because I got to tell you, Slade, I was beginning to think we weren't going to score.
Yeah, that was the ultimate pitcher's duel. You know, their guy was going really well, and we had Billy on the mound who was doing his thing. You know, and we were finally able to break through there and win that ball game to help us catapult us to win the tournament.
Coach, this was a clutch player for you here, wasn't he?
He sure was. He hit some big ones, you know, and probably what started it was a pinch hit against Louisiana Tech. We ended up losing that game, but that really, to me, is when Slade really poked his chest out and said, hey, you're going to remember who I am and what I'm going to mean to this program. And from that moment on, he didn't disappoint at all.
Yeah. And then you see a young man like this graduate, get married, start moving on in life. You have to have a lot of gratification seeing that, I'm sure.
Certainly do, and he needs to have a son. And then down the road, go ahead and get him in this program. Just continue it.
Yes, Slade, a guy that sits in front of me is from Columbia, and I apologize. I shouldn't bring him up and can't remember his name. But he followed your career all through Columbia, and he's a big fan of yours. And he told me that you were so ferocious in high school that your last couple of years, that largely you either got walked or beamed. They would either hit you with a pitch or walk you. But how frustrating when they wouldn't let you hit the ball.
It was definitely frustrating. You know, my sophomore through senior, what senior year was cut short due to COVID, I led the nation at walks, you know, and a lot of times it was just put four fingers up and go to first. It wasn't like, you know, they're pitching around me. They just went ahead and put me on. And, you know, I was frustrated there a little bit, and which it honestly helped me as a base runner because I was just like, all right, I'm going to try to steal second and third now. But, yeah, it got frustrating at times, for sure.
That's the ultimate compliment, though, isn't it, Coach?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, he never budged. When he took one in the box, he stood there and took it like a man. He didn't try to get out of the way. Just like when he went after that fly ball and he got into that wall. That wall wasn't going to keep him from catching that ball. He'd go into that wall, too. So, you would not want to be a guy with a football and have him hit you on a football field, I can assure you.
I mean, you must have played football, Slade.
I did. You know, some people know this. Football was my favorite sport, you know, till ninth grade. But I actually had three knee surgeries playing football. And I would get healthy for baseball every year. Then I'd get re-injured in football. And it finally came to the point, you know, I was like, I probably need to focus on baseball a little bit. But I love football.
It looks like he can play football, Coach Berry.
Still, doesn't it?
Yes. Still does.
You got eligibility, right?
I keep telling Coach Oz, there's surely a fifth year out there for me to play ball. I mean, you got guys playing 7 and 8 years now. I just want a fifth one.
So, Slade, what are you doing now? Let our listeners know that.
Yes, sir. So, I got married in October, and I work at Farm Bureau there in Prentice. I'm an agent. I started in October as well. So.
Right, so life's good for you?
Yes, sir. Everything's going well. You know, here lately, just been excited for baseball season. You know, my wife Macy, I told her a few weeks ago. I said, you know, we're gonna be spending Valentine's Day at the Pete. You know that, right? And so she's excited too, though.
All right, when they throw that first pitch at 4 o'clock, what's gonna be going on in your mind?
Oh well, I guess just be, you know, I'm gonna be paying attention to who's playing where and everything like that, and try not to be thinking too much about past memories. Just be excited for the guys.
All right. We sure appreciate you coming by, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
It was such a pleasure watching you play, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The great Slade Wilks on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More from Pete Taylor Park right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're broadcasting from Pete Taylor Park, and appreciate Scott Berry and Slade Wilkes. Slade Wilkes for coming by, and Coach, that was quite an impressive young man sitting by you.
Oh, yeah, he's a good one there.
He's a dog, too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good one from out there around the Bassville area where I grew up in the elementary schools.
Right, right. Hey, Glenn Dyer's joining us right now. He is the owner and writer for GoldenEaglePride.com. And, man, I've been trying to get you on this show for a couple of years. Man, I'm glad you're finally here.
Well, it's good to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know you cover thoroughly Southern Miss Athletics. Andrew and I were talking a little earlier. Maybe one little surprise we saw was that our All-America pitcher is not starting this weekend. What do you make of that?
Andrew and I were just beating it around. We honestly don't know. The first thought was, has he tweaked his arm a little bit? I was at most scrimmages. I never saw him get hurt. And then you look at the schedule and you see those Tuesday matchups against SEC teams maybe. The coach wanted to have that experienced arm for those, you know, tough Tuesday RPI games.
I wonder, because, you know, he's had an okay spring. It's not what you want from a Friday starter, perhaps. And you and I have talked. Does he have that third pitch? And you and I are both kind of been skeptical. Yes, his stuff is good. He's going to mow people down. But is he going to be able to do it for seven innings, you know, once a week regularly? And that was kind of the big question mark. Maybe Oz. Do you think maybe Oz saw it that way?
Well, going back to last year, Oz did magic with him. When he came here, he was a four-seam guy, had a 12-6 curve. Over a three-month period, he switched him to a two-seam and a hard slider. And you roll with that last year, he's supposed to be working the change now. So that's what we were talking about, that third pitch to, you know, be the equalizer versus lefties. So I didn't really see it, you know, in the scrimmages yet. Mm-hmm. Still has the great two-seam sinker and a slider. But, you know, sometimes that third pitch is, you know, elusive, hard to develop.
I also wonder, because you've got McCarty English in your back pocket as well. I was kind of surprised to see Matt Adams on that Saturday slot, because, you know, for the listeners, when Oz picks his Friday, Saturday, Sunday guys, they are in that groove all through spring. So this is very unorthodox, since Oz has taken over as the pitching coach, to kind of move it around this drastically. Matt had been pitching on Sundays. Graydon Harris is a Sunday guy. So it was really kind of changed up. It also was confusing with the four-game series. But do you think, you wonder if it's McCarty English and Kobe Allen going up against State? Is Oz thinking that far down the road?
I assure you he is. A thought, too, with this is McCarty's coming back from that surgery. Mm-hmm. He hadn't been particularly sharp in scrimmages, got beat around a little bit. You know, maybe he's moving, you know, Colby out for that reason as well. McCarty may be a guy coming in, you know, middle innings till he gets in that groove again. You're just not going to know until that, you know, the first five or six games are played and we figure out what everybody's role is coming out.
Talk about Oz's just rotation in general. I mean, there's still four good arms.
Like, oh, no
make
doubt.
No mistake. Who's maybe your biggest question mark? I mean, were you surprised to see JB be the definitive Friday guy? Kind of just your full thoughts on all four of those guys.
Not really. JB, you know, he came out of the pen and through that four seam that was a little bit flat, had velo, but it could be found. So they added a two seam to it. His slider's playing up. His strike percentage has gone up considerably. That was the key for him to be a starter. I think he's ready for this moment. much like Mazza.
And then Graydon Harris, the true freshman in the weekend rotation. I've said this. I think he's had the best spring out of all the pitchers. But what's your take?
Yeah, big power lefty, strike thrower. Mm-hmm. They were worried about losing him in the draft. The money wasn't where he wanted it, so we got him here. Power lefty, 92, 93, slider, and a really good changeup. And, you know, he beats the zone up with that fastball. It hits it with his secondary stuff. He's a McCarty English this year, what McCarty was last year, but probably a little more polished than McCarty.
And then, you know, Matt Adams, we know what he's capable of, assuming he can come back from that injury and just do what he was doing. But I'm curious. I know people have been skeptical of Cross starting again. You know, they want him out of the bullpen. Me personally, I think why not let him start? It'd be game-changing for the rotation and for the staff. But what's your take on Cross Sively trying to move into that starting role again?
It looks like Cross's fastball has ticked up a little bit. And the last two scrimmages I saw him in, his changeup to righties played up a little more than it has been. That would be huge for him in terms of being a starter. So, and of course, he's a big-time strike thrower. He's always in the zone. So I'm hoping that development of that third pitch, you know, can get him through the lineup a little longer.
All right, Coach Denton, you hear these guys talking about baseball pitchers here. Give us your analysis of the depth of this year's pitching staff, because it tell me if I'm wrong. When you get to the end of the year, there are a lot of talented baseball teams out there. But the difference in the teams that make it to Omaha are the teams that have pitching depth.
Correct.
So where does this team stand in that regard?
I think very good. Near as I could tell back in the fall when I was here to see it a little bit. And, I just thought then a lot of good arms, and I think we got a good year ahead of us.
You think we've got enough depth to get where we want to go?
Well, as a coach, you don't ever have enough. You can't ever say we do have enough, because, you know, it just always seems to get down to the end where you always could use somebody else. But, that's just part of it. Every other team, same way. So, but, I think we're in good shape there.
All right, Glenn, you're sitting here with the Ledger. I bring him on the show sometime, and I get exhausted talking about all the Hall of Fames he's in. And then he always tells me I've missed one or two. What would you ask this man sitting right here?
I guess you've seen this lineup before. I mean, just your experience, and maybe what's the key to this lineup maybe being a little longer for a pitching staff to face this year?
Yeah, you talking about our offensive?
Yes, sir.
Offensively, that's something you really can't tell till you get started, when you start playing other people and that sort of thing, and how it gets started. It's a big deal to get off to a good start, especially these young guys, these freshmen. If they have a great night tonight, it really will help them, for the next two or three weeks. Sometimes it's three or four weeks before you can ever get going. By that time, you may have lost your job, you know. So the way you have all the people in there now. But I honestly feel like they're a good club. We were talking about earlier the toughness of the schedule. Andrew was talking about that a while ago, and he saw how tough it was. For the last 3 years, it's been since I've been out of the coaching where I could really keep up with it a little bit. And each time I saw the schedule for the last 3 years, at the beginning, I liked fainted, because I don't know why in the world we can go through that and not be in bad shape. And every year we've done it and been somewhere we still got some guys already wanting to fire the coaches by then, but it takes a little while to get all that going. But when you hang in with these guys, this RPI stuff, you know, it really helps to do that.
Right.
So, I think we're getting in good shape.
All right, Glenn, we've got four games this weekend. How long will we be into the season before we hear the first demand that Travis Creel is fired?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday night at the latest.
And look, I've talked to these kids that Travis has coached for 5, 6, 7 years.
They love him.
Yeah, they say he's one of the better hitting coaches they've ever had, and the adjustments he's made with them has changed their game. You know, Monastir, for instance, we were talking about the length of the lineup. I think him, you know, is the key to that lineup this year, being a little longer, more productive. And when he got here, they spread him out just to control his bat head a little bit. Now Coach Creel's opened him up a little bit and let him, you know, he's going to have a little more pull power. He probably missed 7 or 8 home runs last year that went dead to center field that would have easily gone out of the park if he gets his pull power going a little bit. Mm-hmm. I look for him to put up some bigger power numbers this year.
Remember that home run he hit against App State in the tournament last year?
Monster.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to knock the scoreboard down when it hit it so hard, yeah. And Travis Creel recruits a lot of these kids, too.
Glenn. Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the greatest hitting lineups out of La Tech years ago was when he was there, and he recruited all those big hitters over there. That was one of the longest, most dangerous lineups I've seen in a long time.
All right, now that you finally come on the show, you realize we're pretty nice guys, right?
Yes, sir. So I appreciate you having me.
Will you come back?
Most definitely.
All right, we appreciate you, my man.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to continue our coverage here, opening day. Pete Taylor Park, stay with us, everybody.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Pete Taylor Park. We're a two-hour special edition of our program here, and we're glad that you've been able to join us. Got Hill Denson with us, co-hosting with Andrew and I. And now that you've been around him for an hour and a half, is he what you expected, Andrew?
Oh yeah, I've had convos with Coach Denson. I've also heard plenty of stories too. All good, of course.
Man, we've heard the Hill Denson.
Most of them weren't true, I'll tell you.
Pull that mic up there close to you.
Okay, most of them weren't true.
All right, former pitcher Daniel Stewart is with us right now, and also vice president of Southern Bank Corp, one of our great, great sponsors, our studio sponsor. And this is the portable Southern Bank Corp studio you're
That's right now,
Daniel.
That's right.
Daniel's also going to be joining us every Tuesday. He's our post-game analysis expert. Analyst is how you say that, right? I went to Southern Miss. Y'all are going to have to. I'm kind of slow. We're glad to have you, man. And
glad to be here.
We've been talking a lot about the pitching staff. I want to ask you the same question all of us been talking about. We've got an All-America on the team, Colby Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Colby Allen's not going to start any of the 4 games. I don't think that says anything bad about Colby Allen. I think it speaks to the incredible depth of this pitching staff. What do you say?
Yeah, I think it does as well. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I know we've got Mississippi State Tuesday night. So it's like, hey, are they waiting to throw Colby Tuesday against Mississippi State? Yeah. It's probably going to be like it was last year, the pitch by committee in the midweeks. But I do agree. I think that shows that we've got a lot of depth. We know what Colby's going to do. I don't think he's got to come out here against, you know, which I'm sure is a great team, but he proved it last year what he's capable of doing. So let some other guys, you know, get out there.
All right, Coach just spoke up about that. That's not what we're seeing, right?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Again, I hadn't talked to Oz, but I certainly don't think that. I think he's there for a closer for 4 games.
Hmm.
All right, so Daniel, let me ask you this. Tell me if this surprised you. Coach Oz has clarified something for me that I asked him specifically about. He said, you know what the fans are going to be like when Mississippi State comes here. But something tells me you're not changing your formula, and you don't really care who you're playing. You're going to pitch a bunch of kids, give them an opportunity to get experience. And he smiled and said, you know that's the only way they get better.
That's
where we're going to see Tuesday night.
Well, that's right. I mean, he's not coaching to make the fans happy. He's coaching to make the team better. And as we saw last year, I mean, we might have 6 or 7 guys run out there in the midweek games, and that all of that work they put in showed at the end of the year. Nobody was fresh. Nobody was in the conference tournament for the first time out on the mound. So that formula worked, and, you know, we're going to – as a fan, yeah, we'd like to see our ace run out there against Mississippi State, but it's a long season, and we've got to just, you know, keep that in mind.
I'd like to point out, if people kind of forget this, Will Armistead gets hurt. Mm-hmm. They lose their Sunday guy who eats a lot of innings, and the pitching staff got better.
Yeah.
That's because of that early experimentation that he does for those who choose to turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Did you have that same philosophy, Coach? You got to get your guys ready.
Absolutely.
Early year, you don't really care if you.
And Mississippi State's going to have the same thing. So they both want to beat each other, no question about it. But they both got to get their pitchers ready, and for the whole year, and not for one game on Tuesday.
That's right.
So.
And that's more important than beating Mississippi State.
I wouldn't be surprised if we threw 9 pitchers.
Yeah.
You know.
That's more important than beating Mississippi State, right?
getting your pitches set.
Yeah,
right.
Well, in the long run, it's more important.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's you got to have that. In Mississippi State, you know, I get kind of tired of hearing our fan base and everybody talk about how great they are. You know, we shouldn't compete with them and all that. They feel the same about us as far as wanting to beat us, and good for their RPI too. So, you know, we supposed to be it's supposed to be a toss up game. You know, whatever happens, ball falls in for somebody here and there, shouldn't be the difference, as it is almost every time we play.
You had a few entertaining matchups, shall I say, with Mississippi State in your career, didn't you?
Yeah. With Pokey. Mm-hmm. Poke was thrown out every year at Hattiesburg. He sat in the roost most of the time and left me down on the field working.
Is that true? He would get thrown out of a game
every year in Hattiesburg
and go sit in the roost with the Southern Miss people?
Well, they ended up getting him in the roost. He used to try to sit in that corner down there, but some of them brought him some chicken or something and got him up there. He's kind of like a dog, you know, can't put that chicken in front of him, waved it, and they ended up coming to the roost and spent a lot of time up there.
You had a lot of success against Mississippi State, Dan. We've talked about that before. You never lost a game against them, did you?
Never lost a game, no. First, I guess, junior year was at Duty Noble. Then here's my senior year was against them here at Pete Taylor, and we'd gotten beat 19-2. It was when we did a 2-2. We got beat 19-2 on that Tuesday night, and I pitched on Wednesday, and we ended up winning, I think it was 6-2, something like that. So, nice little turnaround from getting embarrassed the night before. Mm-hmm.
As a former player, how do you feel when you come to opening day?
No, it doesn't. I mean, walk in, see the people, smell the hamburgers cooking, sun shining, see that everybody warming up on the field. It's magical feeling, I guess. It's nothing like it, opening day of college baseball season.
Yeah. Andrew?
I have a big picture question for anybody who wants to answer this, but what has to happen in this first month? Because this first month is, I mean, it's all about the RPI. I mean, it's clear, that's clearly the case with the teams they've scheduled. Where do they have to be by the end of this first month of the season if they want to be in the position to host, in a perfect world, be a top 8 seed, set yourself up to host a super? How many losses do you think? What's their window? What has to happen?
That's probably tough to say. You know, obviously, you know, you want to lose as least amount as possible, but it's a long season, so you got to figure things out. And the inside of the team too, it's some internal competitions going on with the pitchers and who's going to be in the 3-hole, 4-hole, and those guys are battling out every day in practice and competing, and everybody wants to be the best they can. So, you know, it's just a long season. Got to play the best they can. Coach Oz is going to have everybody ready to play. You know, we're going to have losses. That's going to happen, but just we got to minimize them and just play the way Southern Miss plays baseball.
I
think everything's going to work out.
The last 3 years, when we get to play about half the schedule of 20 games or so, then we've been just a little above 500 both times. If you look back and see that, and you know, that's probably 500 baseball. You know, look at the big leaguers play each other every day. You know, and you know, anytime you're over 500, you're doing pretty good.
So what would you like if they come out of the first month 500? You feel okay about that, Coach?
Well, I'd feel better if they were 1,000.
But you know, you look at who they play, and I know everybody circles that TCU series. Louisiana Tech, 45-19 rival. I mean, they're in there for the CUSA mix. UNC Wilmington is arguably the Southern Miss of the East Coast. I mean, they're one of the top mid-majors. I mean, they just haven't been in the super regional realm, but they are darn good. In fact, I think I was listening to the D1 Baseball podcast. The sleeper to go to Omaha for the mid-majors is what they deemed them. I mean, that's three really good
and
teams.
They're playing here, right?
Correct. And then you still got, you know, Ole Miss, MSU, Alabama, Tulane's a back-to-back NCAA tournament team again. I mean, there's just, you know, and you know, then there's the conference, right?
Yeah.
You've got so many, UL, of course, and Troy is, we've talked about, the talk of the town.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like there's not as much margin of error compared to the past, especially when they get through this first 20 games.
Yeah, you know, you look around, to me, college sports in general, everything's getting more competitive mm-hmm. around blocking. You know, obviously you got the college football and all the Power Five conferences, but baseball is one of those sports that's always been, you know, I don't care if you're Alabama or UNC Wilmington, it's all settled out there on the diamond in nine innings. And baseball has been always one of the sports to me that's had more parity. But yeah, you know, I like where we are. I like the players we've got coming back. I like the new guys that are coming in. So as I sit here right now, I'm very optimistic about the way our season's going to turn out.
And excited.
Excited. Absolutely.
Now, is this the year we go back? You know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, if you look at, well, I guess it's X now, not Twitter anymore. There's some D1 baseball put us as a seed at one of the eight teams in Omaha. So it's nice to say, nice to think about it now. A lot of time between now and then, but it'd be nice.
This a year, Coach?
Oh, who knows? I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you can't tell that, and it all depends on that regional. And when mm-hmm. if you're playing good then and things are falling right for you, you hit one on the handle and it falls in, and they hit a bullet and you catch it, you know, that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, so here's a question, Coach. If we do get back to Omaha, are you going to do the show with us out there?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will we have to pay you again, or would the check you're getting today carry on?
Well, you can pay me on check.
Daniel, thank you, man. We appreciate
thank you.
It. Look forward to having you on the show every Tuesday.
Looking forward to it.
We're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up right after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Pete Taylor Park, opening day, two-hour edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we really appreciate our great sponsors like Covington County Hospital, Johnny Wright Auctions, Heritage Firearms, South Mississippi Office Furniture, SoPro Brewing, and Warren & Warren Asphalt. All right, speaking of one of those great sponsors, Johnny Wright Auctions, we're very happy to have Mr. Johnny Wright on the show. And, sir, first of all, thank you very much. Southern Miss Baseball, very, very special to everyone here in the community. And because of great business leaders like you, we were able to broadcast and give a great preview of opening day here today. And we're grateful to you for that, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, tell me about your business. I find it fascinating. Johnny Wright Auctions. Let's talk about the sorts of things that your company is involved in, sir.
Well, we're an equipment auction. We sell farm-related equipment, construction equipment, vehicles, ATVs, boats, tools, just pretty much anything that people want to consign to us. We do a lot of work for government entities, selling stuff for them, up to individuals. People just got stuff they need to get rid of, and they don't want to fight the deal going through Facebook and all the haggle and whatever. They bring it to us. We're live and online. We're sending stuff to all the lower 48 states plus different countries throughout the world.
Wow.
I mean,
so I guess the internet has changed your industry in that you can literally sell your auction items anywhere in the country, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were sending tractors down into Mexico, Puerto Rico. I mean, we send
right?
stuff all over the world. Yeah, we do.
How long have you been in this business, Mr. Wright?
I went to auction school when I graduated high school back in 1992. And then just worked around for other people. Then in 2019, I told my wife, I said, look, why don't we start our own deal? So that's what we done. And a couple of years ago, we was blessed enough to be able to buy us a permanent auction yard. And since that, we've really grew. I mean, it's really taken off for us.
And it's changed a lot, I'm going to assume, in the time you've been in there then.
Oh, it has. It has. I fought the internet deal for a while. I'm old school, just wasn't comfortable with it. But when we finally done it, I mean, it made a world of difference for us.
No, it makes a lot of sense. All right, before we run out of time, I want you to let our listeners know, how do people do business with you, not buying stuff, but, the equipment that you auction off, how do people provide that equipment for you if they have something they want you to sell for them?
It's easy. They can go to Johnny Ride Auctions and just Google that. It'll pop up. It's got all our contact information, but they just get it to us. And, we got a sale coming up March the 1st. The consignment deadline is February the 25th. But the quicker they can get it here, the more it's out on the internet, more advertising we get done, the better money it brings.
Sure. Yeah. But how can they reach you, Mr. Rock?
They can call my cell at 601-422-9289 or, like I said, the website, Johnny Ride Auctions.
We appreciate you very much, sir, and encourage everybody to get in touch with you. And thank you so much for sponsoring our program today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Johnny Ride Auctions, everybody, one of our great sponsors. Just a minute or so here to wrap up this two-hour edition. Coach, as always, it's something I always look forward to, having you on the show every year. And your thoughts as we get ready to leave here about the season, and what do you think fans should realistically expect?
With you too, Bob, and enjoy doing it. I think we're gonna be in for another good season, so good, might as well just get on board.
Andrew, your thoughts about this team? You cover this every day, and it's almost showtime. So what are you thinking?
I'm gonna give a hot take. This is the first time in a few seasons where I feel like this lineup, if they, they're gonna shuffle it. But I think this lineup has the talent to cover for the pitching staff if they have mistakes. And it's been a few years since it's been that way. Usually it's been the other way around. And having said that, I just don't see much weaknesses in this lineup. I see five, maybe six guys that will have 10-plus home runs this year. And if this pitching staff can figure out its starting rotation early, and if they can, I'd say, come out of that first month with maybe four losses and maybe four or five games above 500, something special could happen. And I will add one other thing. Well, maybe not. But I do think that they can get out to a favorable start in conference play just because of how the schedule shakes down. It's really going to come down to the last two weekends of the year for them, in my opinion.
Real coach, you agree with that, Coach?
Yes, I do. I agree wholeheartedly.
Always a great pleasure to spend time with you.
Appreciate having you.
Andrew, thank you.
Yep.
All right, it's baseball season, everybody. We appreciate everybody listening today. Hope you come out and give a great day at the Peak. Southern Miss to the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.